Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Truth is Out There, Voice of the People radio show. We're going to be talking about some little sad news, and we're going to dedicate a show in a second. But I need to get this out to you. As you know, there's a big thing going on with FTX, which is the cryptocurrency company that basically went belly up after it kind of screwed everybody. And they did a Bernie, we call it Bernie Madoff, but there was a lot of big people attached to it that got screwed, and some of it was part of the corruption and kickbacks and money laundering and stuff like that. And it's high into here locally in the Broward County area, and that includes the Broward County schools, the Broward County kids, the children in the Broward County, as well as some teachers and some school board members and politicians in the Broward County area. And it all has to do with what they call the Broward Schools, on the Broward County Schools page, promoting the hackathon, where literally they're hacking into people and computerizing and trying to do some cryptocurrency and other things involved with the aspects of possible criminal activities across the board. Next week, next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next week, we are forming what they call a task force into looking at possible criminal indictments and then the grand jury, which is setting up. And we're going to take that. It's going to be a lot of Democrats specifically and a lot of people in the school system here, because these kids had no business playing around, especially middle school and high school kids, playing around with cryptocurrency and getting involved with possible hacking and other stuff on the Internet. This is criminal, Initially, the Broward County Schools and the Teachers Union denied it, but we got the evidence thanks to a number of our investigators. I'd like to thank Chris for that, and also Red Broward. And we're going to get this done. And I also got to congratulate Fox News on this because it hit Fox News the other day and on the Fox News financial channel. So all of that is tied together. And one of my first duties next week, when things finally come to a head, is to form this committee, this task force, and to clean this up and this corruption up. And I promise you, this is part of the corruption fighter, as everybody knows who I am, and we are going to do this. That is number one on the board. Number two on the board is to clean up the corruption that's going on in the Broward County courts. And we're looking into medical fraud. We already have a number of evidence to put certain people in prison for a long time. That will be shown in the next few days, at least, as we get going. So that's the big thing. Now, I'm going to introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am good. Good evening, everyone. And as you heard from what Joe expressed, going after the criminals and the FTX scandal here in Broward County. So get a lawyer.
And, of course, you brought back Lauren. Lauren's here. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Joe?
All right. You know, that's one of the things we were working on. Initially, I was going to work into a different area initially to clean up some other mess once everything gets sworn in and do our duties and everything we need to do in the next week. But this thing took place as it's finally getting ahead. Even Fox News has picked up the FTX stuff with Broward County and the schools. So we're actually in the thick of things now. We want to dedicate this show to someone that I knew personally. I've been at a couple of rallies and stuff where we talked on occasions. In fact, this show, The Truth Is Out There, when we were heading to Newsmax, was going to follow up on her show, on their show, but that's not going to happen now. We're talking about Diamond the Silk, and Diamond passed away at age 51 the other day on Monday, and it's very sad. She was kind of sick for a couple of weeks, but it's been very quiet. She's not someone to publicize the illness and stuff. Well, that personal stuff, she's not looking for sympathy or any of that stuff. And she doesn't try to, go and get things that's not really catered to her because she earned everything she was getting. And she's very big. She's conservative. And she passed away unexpectedly on Monday. And in fact, Trump got the word first, and then we followed right behind him. And he announced it, I announced it, and then everybody else started picking it up. So we're dedicating this show to Lynette, she's going to be sorely missed. Diamond Soap was great. If you ever see them, and Diamond will be sorely missed. Any comment, Scarlett?
And we also lost today. It came out late, but we did lose it today. A great musician. In fact, one of the best guitarists I've heard besides Eric Clapton. We lost Jeff Beck today, and it's a sad loss. And he died from bacterial meningitis. And that was a shock. It's all over the airwaves. All the musicians who he came in contact with, because he played with a lot of people, a lot. And they're in shock, you know? The man, if you ever get a chance, you go on YouTube and type in J-E-F-F, last name Beck, B-E-C-K, and go hear him. He is awesome, okay? And a major loss. So my condolences to the family of both. We have a major loss with Diamond, with Lynette Hardaway. Yes, and Jeff Beck. And it is. you know, and there was a 21-year-old walking to class who just died.
There are people dropping left and right for no apparent reason, and this is crazy stuff. You know.
Every time I turn around, there's a new death going on. I mean, jeez.
I talked to several hundred people today for different areas that we're working on, and the amount of people that deceased that have died within the last day or two or week have tremendously increased, and it's not because of COVID related. It is because it's the jab most likely, and not COVID itself, and other reactions, because there is an increase of respiratory diseases and heart situations since the COVID epidemic, I call it a plandemic, because it came out of China, and I believe it was a terrorist attack.
Just played the other day a concert with someone. Okay? So what the heck? How do you get bacterial meningitis? How do you not
Do you know how you could get the meningitis, bacterial meningitis, to die within days?
No. I know that when I was teaching at one college, several people came in and said they had meningitis, and I thought, holy mackerel, I hope it's not contagious, because why are they even coming to class if they have it, mm-hmm. if it is contagious? And I was like, called up the nurse, and I said, you know, like, what do you want me to do with these people? And she said, send them home. And I told them, go home.
They need to go to the hospital. They really do.
Yeah.
Is that from the jab? Can you get bacteria?
I don't know.
Is these young people are dying of heart attacks. They're just dropping dead.
Now,
so
I don't know
if this is from blood clotting, an aneurysm, or what?
I don't know if this is true for them. I don't know. But I do know that people who've done a lot of marijuana, they've done tests on it, and they said even young people get strokes and heart disease at a young age. Now, I don't know. So I want to put that in there. I don't know. But it makes me think about it. And I did have a friend. He died. He used to a football player, and he used to try and shock me. He used to say, "Hey, I'm going to shock you. You can't believe how much marijuana I smoked today." And I said, "I don't care, as long as you're protecting kids." And he had a plan, and he was doing as much as he wanted to do. And I said, "Look, you're a big boy. You don't need my permission to smoke, you know. But just as long as you're protecting other people, you know." So I don't really know, but it makes me wonder, because I have seen people drop quickly. Like, he dropped very quickly, and he always was, you know, he's a football player, and he's gone.
A lot of sports people are not doing well.
No, a lot of sports people are not doing well. Football players, basketball players, you know, college students
Yeah.
You know, even high school students, they all of a sudden you hear all these people collapsing and stuff like that.
And
I can see it, I can see it in the summertime out in the field, it was 100 degrees, but it's in the 40s or 50s across the country, maybe even cooler than that in some areas, and they're still dropping. We don't know.
And now we have another problem going on with kids. A 7th grade, 7-year-old kid, 7 years old or 6 years old, went to class and shot the teacher.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was a 6-year-old.
Yes, I heard about that.
I'm wondering how the kid,
it was a legit gun. The parents bought it for him.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right. Look, years ago, I want to tell you something. there's a difference in mentality today of our children than they were years ago, because growing up in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s even, kids, even in the early 70s, and a lot of the kids, especially in the country, even today in some areas, these kids, if the parents are right, you know, mother and father acting together, and they teach them how to take care of the child, the gun, and very easily the weapon. And they have classes. But know what the answer is? Know what makes the difference between now and back, say, 20 years ago? It's called video games. And it's called movies.
They get used to, yes, that's right. They say, well, you know, it's not real. But it's real if you're shooting somebody.
Right. So
you
they
know,
don't understand.
I remember
they don't, the parents, they have
kid.
To be parents.
I know the parents are crazy to do this kind of thing. Kids will, they're not developed their brains, and they can say, gee, this is like a video game. I think I'm mad at somebody, so I'll shoot them. Mm-hmm. It's a bad idea, especially at 6 years old. Oh my God.
And the thing is, think it's 20 years ago, a 6 year old, with the parents did it right, it'd be okay with a gun. Kids grow up with guns all the time. And especially out in the Midwest and sometimes in Texas and other areas, they know the responsibility of a gun because the parent teaches them of that. And they and most of these people realize that it's not a video game, it's not a toy, that it's real.
No.
And there's classes out there, but you're getting these people so used to the rap songs and the video games and stuff that they're mentally unstable. They become mentally unstable. They don't understand the difference between right and wrong, reality and fiction.
I think it's called normalization. You could call it normalization of violence. That's wrong. Go ahead, Joe.
It's indoctrination and recruitment of these people, and they do it on purpose. They follow it through, and then they got copycats and stuff. You know, one of the things that a lot of good news reports do when you have a mass shooting, they don't identify the shooter in the mail, in the media. They don't even mention anything, and they let it go. And this way, you have to get the fame of the 15 minutes of fame. And if everybody stops doing that and you know, stops giving the 15 minutes of fame, that there's no reality, they don't become so-called folk hero, and they lose that type of thing that they're trying to get. And that's another way. We also need to have parents need to be parents and stop working with these things. So we have plenty of kids down here in Florida that actually know how to use the gun. They go through training and everything. Their parents take them, but they lock the weapon up and they don't use it and they don't bring it in any which way. And that's what they do. They keep it at home. But again, the best way, the thing is here, one of the good things about this way, open carry is good, is that criminals will not go after you if they know they're going to get shot back at them. And that's the thing there. That's why when you see all these mass shootings and stuff, they always go into an area that's so-called gun-free zone because nobody has a gun, so they can do all their thing and not get worried about being fired back at them. And that's why that's what gun-free zones never work. If they know that everybody has a possible weapon, they will not go and do it because their target is not to get somebody to shoot back at them. Their target is to shoot and kill people, as many people as they can, without being interrupted by someone with a gun. And that's the key. That's why the old saying of what stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, and it's very successful everywhere.
Sometimes, but I think the best thing to do is, yes, it does work sometimes, but anything I suppose can work, but I think thinking of, you know, I always say this kind of thing, you know, do our public officials, and I know this is a little bit of a change, but, you know, elected officials think, the earth is a trash can of the universe. And when they think that, they're able to use guns on people, you know, innocent people, just gun them down. Now, not public officials, but, you know, when people start thinking that, instead of thinking of, you know, the basic goodness of man. Yeah, I'm not saying that everybody's good. Some people are nicer than other people, but, you know, it can't. I think it's a mistake to focus on the negativity of people all the time, because then you just start feeling negative yourself.
And right. What you need to do
really
is to redevelop. What I believe is we should go back into the Leave It to Beaver days and all that. Basically, a mother, father having dinner a night, you know, together, and the family unite on the weekend, and you know, the Blue Lord type of thing, and the families get together to go to church, or synagogue, and things of that nature. So the parents know the children know the parents. One of the things is that I think it was today or yesterday, the governor signed of Illinois signed into what they call a gun ban in the state of Illinois, the weapons ban for.
Right, I heard about that.
Yeah, except it's not going to work. It didn't work. It didn't work before. It's not going to work again because Columbine was on when they had the weapons ban. It doesn't work because criminals do not follow the law by definition. So you can make as many gun laws there is, they will still get this stuff no matter what. And we had a show a few years back for the 2-hour show we had where we had the actual gangs of Chicago on the show. Along with somebody from the mayor's office and some school board and a couple others, and they all said the same thing: gun control doesn't work, but active police, preventive police matters does work. But the best thing that can help save lives in Chicago is to unite the family. They stop with the divorces, the fathers stop with improving education.
Well,
that helps.
Right after a Columbine, there's this guy, I can't remember his name, but I wouldn't mention it anyway on the radio. I was assigned to him, you know, because and I said, what happened? Why are you here? And, you know, because he was banned from the school. And so mm-hmm. I was going to work with him at his house. In fact, I was the only person who volunteered to work with him. And he told me that he wasn't going to shoot anybody. What he said was he walked into Spanish class in school, and he was pissed off, he said. And he said, I said, I'm going to finish what Columbine does. I'm going to take an M16 to everybody. He didn't mean it, but that's what he said. He didn't mean it. And he said within the 60 seconds, the police had him manacled, pulled out of the house, and he was going to court. It's that quick, you know, town court.
Yeah.
And then they assigned him.
Yeah.
And he said he was just bullied. You know, and he was a nice kid. All the kids assigned to me who were known for guns were nice kids. They brought shotguns to school. They brought guns to school. They said all kinds of things, but they said they were scared and they thought it made it sound tough. And that doesn't make them sound tough. And I said, well, maybe you're saying that to me. But one child said to me, can you protect me from them? And I said, I don't want to protect you. I said, you got to have, you know, because somebody stares at you, you got to face that. I mean, he was afraid of anybody even staring at him. And, you know, those are the kind of people that I feel sorry for. I want to see them protected. But somebody who actually comes in and starts shooting, now that's a little different story. Like a Columbine, those people may have been bullied, but they actually shot people too. And they've gone the extra distance.
Right. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. With Columbine, those two kids, they will have mental health issues, and they also had drug issues. Mental health and drugs are hand in hand.
Yeah.
If you're an addict, you have a mental health issue combined with that because the drugs itself creates the mental health issue.
It's true.
You know, so that's the problem. And every single mass shooting that happened in this country, has the person that actually did the shooting had a mental health issue of some sort.
And I understand that many of them, if not most of them, were smoking. They were stoners. They were addicted to marijuana too. I don't know if that's contributed
things
or not, but
a lot
of
them. some of them have been bullied, and they retaliate through the from the bully. Such as Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, the guy that killed all those people, he was bullied, and he retaliated, and he had mental health issues to begin with. And he was part of what we call the Promise Program, which is no longer exists too much in there, because all it did was, with the Promise Program, what they did was they didn't want the kids to go from school to prison. So what they did was they lowered the felonies to a misdemeanor, and they kept it in-house. And by doing that, it prevented from the computer database from getting this problem. So anybody could go buy a gun, because when they do a background check, they were not at the mental health issue or the criminal issue was on the computer because of the Promise Program. That caused 17 people to get murdered, because this guy, if he actually did the job and was in the Promise Program, we would have had him ahead of time. We would have known that none of this would have happened. We would have had things taken care of. That was one of my big things that broke the story. That was one of the major stories that we broke going back in 2018, going back then. We needed to do what we had to do on that. And I promised, my friend Andy and I and a bunch of others, we made a pact to make sure that sheriff, who has a program that hesitated and was a big supporter of the Promise Program, will never be sheriff again. And we did that. We got rid of him. It took time. And we took time with the school superintendent. We got him gone, and we got rid of most of these Promise Programs. We still have a little bit to get rid of, but we are working on it. And we did a pretty good job on it. And we're focused on. We got one more part we're doing. That'll be gone in the next few days, and then we'll start moving forward and cleaning up the mess. But this was the drive on that. But we need to protect our kids, and we need to, cryptocurrency and cyber stalking and hacking and things like that, or to violence like that, or addiction drugs. Casey DeSantis and Governor DeSantis has a program to go into schools to talk to kids about the dangers of drugs and alcohol addiction. And from little kids to all the way up, because like what used to do with Nancy Reagan back in the day, just say no.
Yeah, don't use drugs. I've tried that myself because, I how strongly I am against drugs for kids, And so I called different schools and they said, no, this is controversial. We don't want you to come here. And the few who said that they would accept me, they wanted to know, like, practically everything about me, and they said, well, we'll get back to you. And, of course, they never got back to me.
Well, we're going to figure – in Broward County Schools, we have a drug program going right now with Governor Sanders, stuff like that. Broward County Schools, we're going to increase our security presence with all the public schools in and around the area, including – working with the local police departments in the county to close the drug dens that associate within a certain amount of feet of the schools, which is actually a felony in all 50 states. But we're going to enforce
it. Maybe. Yeah.
And if we even have to close down the McDonald's to do it, we will do it. And we need to do that. And to protect the kids. It doesn't matter if it's a little kid or a college student. We need to do that.
Yeah, the one thing is, we do need to have some kind of control over all these drugs. But when people are smoking, let's say marijuana, what marijuana are you smoking? The kind that's 3%, or THC, or are you smoking the kind that's like 97%? And I don't know. In Holland, 15%. Is narcotics.
Yeah, no, we'll test it. We'll test it, and you never know who's going to be next to you. It could be we're going to initiate what we call the Jump Street program, similar to the TV show. We're going to do that. And that's something I grew up with in part of back in the day. And we're going to put that in the Broward County schools. And we're working also with Curtis Leroy and his team to with the Guardian Angels down here when we formed them up down here to take care of these kids, to make sure that they're being held. And we'll know instantaneous what the grade of marijuana is or what kind of drugs it's being associated and who and where. And we're going to close them all down. And we're going to put these kids into recovery.
It could be, you know, somebody is lacing some of the marijuana with fentanyl, and you wonder, well,
right,
why would anybody do that? Because it's 50 times more powerful than heroin, and it could kill you. But they do it to get a bigger pop. They say that this is marijuana, but it doesn't give them a big pop, so they say, well, put a little bit of fentanyl in. And they said, oops,
yeah,
I guess it kills you.
Yeah, we are going after the drug trafficking, what they call the roadway, so to speak, into Broward County, into the Tri-County area. But we're also going to get back to, see, right now, Broward County, the BSO lost the 911 call center to some other group. We're going to bring that back. We're going to expand it and upgrade it and teach the callers that respond, that listens, that get these 911 calls, how to react and how and to expedite it. And we're going to upgrade the system, and then we're also going to connect the 911 call center in Broward County to also Miami-Dade and Palm Beach County, and make it a tri-county system. So this way we can connect.
Sounds like a good idea.
And then work with that, and this way we can get. Please, right now it takes 5 to 10 minutes for respond time. I want to bring it down to 2 to 5 minutes or even faster than that.
I agree with that. It sounds good. You know, you have a system that if you're depressed or have a lot of anxiety, you can call somebody instead of like, well, I'll self-medicate. I'll take some marijuana. Oh, it's 99%? Well, okay, I can handle it. The question is, if you can handle
it,
and the kids next to you can't. You can't handle it.
Right.
But any
you
amount,
don't know who can handle
you're going
that.
To have poisons coming
right.
out
you don't know,
smoke.
You don't know who can handle
that's right.
And
don't
what
know
makes
who's
it,
there.
And what makes it worse is that if you are a single mom, for example, and you're smoking pot and or doing some other drug or alcohol, and you have a little baby next to you. What are you doing to that baby? You know,
really? That's my big thing. It's like, what are you doing when you're smoking? Because you're making other people inhale or smoke through via secondhand and thirdhand smoke. I mean, like, and there's different toxins in there. You can look that up. Anybody can look it up. They see arsenic. They see mercury. They see lead. They see hydrogen cyanide. And they think, well, maybe I can handle it. Well, can the kids handle it? Can the babies handle it? And if they can't handle it, and you know they can't, then what are you doing to somebody? You're saying you're going to have to smoke poison? That this is such
no,
a
anyway,
country.
What we're going to do, if we catch a single mom or a single dad with a little kid in it, and they're doing the drugs in front of them, we're going to call social services to take that kid away for the protection of that kid. If they're not,
yeah,
they're not responsible
like
for themselves
done,
and for their child, they shouldn't be a parent.
Exactly. They shouldn't be a parent. What are they doing being a parent if they're poisoning their kid? You know, they don't think that it's that. They think, oh, the kid, there's nothing to it. It's a joy. It's a joy to smoke. Well, is it a joy to smoke for a one-year-old to smoke? I don't think so.
Or a two-month-old or a five-year-old or an eight-year-old. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But anyway,
I
want to change the topic for a little bit. Talking about life and babies. The new Congress, the 118th Congress, Republican controlled, voted to save the life of a baby from abortion,
uh-huh.
And they're trying to get rid of the abortion pills. They want the chemical pills. that are literally killed. They can buy it over the counter. Most of them comes from overseas. They're not really regulated. The FDA gave in to the left-wing dingbats to kill life, trying to okay it, but the House of Representatives is going to make it illegal, which is the right thing to do. But all the Democrats, 210 Democrats, voted against protecting the baby after the abortion. In other words, if the baby, you're trying to abort the baby, and the baby survives the abortion, all 210 Democrats voted to allow the baby to lie in a garbage can, die on its own, and not get any kind of help at all.
You know,
in other words, Democrats
people,
are murderers.
Politicians stick together. They stick together. I mean, either Democrats or Republicans or whatever, they stick together whatever the issue is. And it's just
the thing is, that's not good, because what happened to values and morals and the moral standing? It's a life. If it went through, even if you support abortion, if that baby survives the abortion, are you going to allow it to suffer in pain, or are you going to try and get some help to save that baby? Are you a human being, or are you the devil? Because, what are you going to do, kill it twice, or try to? The point is, it's not morally right to let somebody stay there in pain. You botch the abortion up, fine. Let the baby live. Put it up for adoption. Let's see what happens. But the point...
Whenever you normalize something that's bad, like with smoking, it does something to you in your thinking. You're thinking, well, I can do something else, whatever that is, and it may be bad, but you know what? I put up with smoking. I put up with marijuana. I put up with tobacco. Put up with people insulting me. You know, this is what people are saying to themselves. And then they say, well, what the heck, the earth is the garbage can of the universe, and they start thinking of that. I wonder if you actually got people to say something a little bit different to themselves, that let me build up for people, let me not knock them down. That just seems wrong to me. Now, just to give you an idea, when there was somebody I know, and I was introducing him to somebody else, and this is back in my college days, and it might seem unrelated, but they came over and they said to me, hey, that right to that person's face, hey, you're fat. Some gal, And I said, well, you can't say that. But, you just do that enough times. You insult somebody, something's going to happen to you. Maybe that person doesn't have it. Maybe that person has morals, but they're going to say, well, I don't care. I don't care.
You're going to give the person inferiority complex.
Exactly. If you give them an inferiority complex, they'll say, well, I don't care. I'll give you one more example. I used to give lectures on being safe, dealing with people who might want to hurt you, who have knives or guns. And one gal said to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to confront the guy who has a knife on me or a gun, and I'm going to tell him how evil he is. And I thought, well, what do you think he's going to do to you? If you convince him that he's that evil, he's going to shoot you or knife you. That's not a good idea. It's just going to get you killed.
My point is, first of all, we shouldn't even have to about abortion anyway, because life begins at conception. Every scientist in the world now believes that. Number one, when the sperm hits the egg, and don't we want to protect life?
That's the thing. Making arguments, people say, well, I disagree with that, or I agree with that. And I'm just saying that a person might feel differently if they got used to building people up, saying the positive thing, and not saying, well, I'll say something bad about them. I'll say they're fat, right to their face. Now, that's an extreme example. Calling them evil to their face. You start doing that, and the person gets an inferiority complex, and they might say, well, Joe's right, but who cares? Who cares about anything? Nothing matters, And I think that's what elected officials have become. It's like, well, the party matters.
They're not listening.
That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, they tend to have their own agenda, not listening to the people in there. But so far, and one thing I will say, in the first few days of this 118th Congress, the Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans, they kept his promises made, promises kept. It's exactly what they're doing, straight up and down so far. And we'll see where it goes. And they're working, getting rid of the 87,000 IRS agents, probably to try implement, to eliminate the IRS and implement some kind of like a fair tax.
No,
they
won't be able to do any of that. They won't be able to do any of that because Joe Biden will probably veto every one of those, if not the Senate.
Yeah, we expect that to happen, and we expect that since the House of Representatives has the purse strings, they have the power, and they're going to have to, Biden's going to get anything done, he's going to have to come to the House sooner or later. So they actually have the power, and we're going to end up getting this up. But Biden has his own problems right now, because everything that they were accusing Trump was doing with these secret documents, the top secret documents and Mar-a-Lago and everything, it actually ended up that Biden did it. And not Trump. And the stuff that's in the Mar-a-Lago had nothing to do with any secret stuff. And the Secret Service actually was guarding it all along to begin with. Now, for the second day in a row, top secret documents were found. One at his think tank office, and then the other one at the other office of Biden's. There are a lot of stuff, and a lot of it is connected to his time with Vice President. Back and involved with Ukraine and Iraq and Iran and Burisma and Hunter Biden and all that stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going in, and the Democrats are now exposing him. And there's a little theory that the Democrats are trying to get Biden out of office now and that way to 2024. And they're supplying with all the information now with the second box and what else is new. So we'll see.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But I think that people are making a mistake if they don't realize they're contributing to whatever, global warming or some kind of hate in the atmosphere, the psychic, the emotional atmosphere, if they don't stop insulting people. I mean, I've made it a policy. I think you see me on Twitter. I've made it a policy. Never say anything bad about anybody. I think Scarlett even said that. Don't say anything bad unless you... Don't say anything unless you can say something good. And I think that's a good, great policy, you know. And because if basically you see the person is a man or a woman is basically good, yeah, they might have some bad ideas, but if you see them basically as good, they have a better chance of doing something. I mean, there's a show on called Get Smart. You probably saw it. And
I know Don Adams. I knew Don Adams.
Don Adams. Oh my God!
Yeah,
okay.
I lived in a place called Regal Park in Queens, New York, and when growing up in the '60s, and we had a lot of stars in the area. I had the Knicks near me. I had Sandy Koufax's cousin. I had Don Adams across the street and his family.
Don
Rickles,
Adams,
his mother, father. Yeah. You know, all that
stuff.
People
don't know, Don Adams is a star of Get Smart. And he was so funny. He used to do this one thing which I thought was beautiful. He'd go over to this guy and he's like 6'5" or something, start hitting him, and the guy would just stare at him. And then he put his arm around him and say, "Sorry about that remark calling you a communist." And, you know, everybody would laugh at that. But, you know, I point out, if you're going to do violence, which I disagree with, but if you do it, you can't just start the violence and then quit it and then say, put your arm around the guy and, you know, make nice with him. You know,
he goes, sorry about that, chief. Well, he goes, would you
That's
believe?
Right. Sorry about that, chief. Yes. Yes.
And then he goes,
would you believe?
And he goes through a whole line and talk to his shoe and all that stuff. And Jaime the Robot, Nation 99, Barbara Feldman, all that. It's interesting and stuff, but those are the good old days. Even Get Smart, you probably wouldn't be able to see today, done the way they did it back then, because it's too much sensitive. Yeah, you know, too much of the wokeness is killing all that stuff. No.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. In fact,
yeah,
I never
it is
see
funny.
It anymore. I can...
Yeah. You know, we got a few more minutes left. I want to get to two topics before we end it. One is, if you were on a plane, you had a chance to go fly someplace today or last night, you couldn't. All the planes in this country was grounded at one point because of a glitch. They say it's just a glitch. It's not some terror attack or anything else, but it's not the first time this happened in the last few weeks. So it was more local last time. This time was nationwide. Where is the transportation secretary? Nowhere to be found. So the thing is, it's part of the cost, but we need to upgrade our systems to try and secure our systems from all these type of computer problems. And that just because you never know what could happen. That's why I don't like computerized or electronic cars, because other people could possibly control it.
That could happen. In fact, that does happen, I think. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I agree. But, you know, I'll tell you, it didn't affect me because I don't like flying. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't flown in about 15 years.
Scarlett don't like flying either, but I don't mind. Scarlett doesn't like flying, but I don't mind flying. I can go either way, you know. But, you know, the other thing is that we need to talk about is that what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. The swamp and the left, the Democrats, are going after George Santos because he might have lied about a lot of his qualifications when he ran for Congress in New York and won his race and he got sworn in. But so did a lot of the politicians going in. Look at first, Kamala Harris, the VP, she lied. Joe Biden lied.
Oh,
God,
you
know
smoking marijuana is not a joy?
Yeah.
Blumenthal from Connecticut.
Blumenthal.
Oh, you mean Earl?
John,
you know,
John Kerry.
Yeah, the Swift folks.
I could go on. I mean, every single one, like they did in
Elizabeth Warren.
One time, they'd have to put all of Congress in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's funny, but
okay.
It's true.
I was asked today, actually last night, because we were talking about Santos and stuff like that, and I said that if you lie, you should be disqualified. But if you're going to do that, you should be able to. Everyone that lied on their application should be disqualified. And if that happens, then you'll have no Congress or Senate. Or any politician, because they all lied. But that's politicians. But if you lie, and this is what I say, if you lie on a police application, say that you were never arrested and you were arrested as a child for killing someone, and then lied about that because they went from being a felony down because he's a child to a misdemeanor, it's still arrested, and you lie on the application. If whether you're doing drugs or not, you also lie on the application. You should be disqualified, and that's the difference between George Santos and the soon-to-be former sheriff Gregory Tony, and that is the difference. When you do an application, you're doing like a bonding. I don't know if you ever know what a U4 is. What you do for brokerage. You got to get bonded. Whether you go into the police department, whether the NYPD or some other, you get bonded. They go through a extreme background check. When you go to do something with national
FBI, CIA,
when you do something with Homeland Security, even if it's getting some kind of permit on the grounds of National Security Headquarters or the federal courthouse or anything like that, you got to go through a background. They bond you to make sure you're not a terrorist or not criminal.
So many kids growing up think it's nothing. I you know, when I taught at the university, people would talk to me like they're my buddies, they weren't exactly my buddies, but they would say, oh, yeah, so I cheated. It's like, how come you don't cheat? And I said, I don't do that sort of thing. I can't believe how much cheating, and it's just laughed at. I mean, it's just nothing.
That's it.
I mean,
you know, they take it lightly.
They take it lightly, and there is a website that takes Bitcoin only, Bitcoin. It's called IWillCheatForYou.com. And I thought,
yeah, I know.
No, it can't be. Oh, you've heard of it? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I heard of it.
This woman says it was $40,000 plus tuition. I will get you good grades. You don't have to do anything. You just go to Aruba. And a lot of people said they'd like to go to Aruba. That's why I mentioned Aruba a lot. You know, they like to go there and gamble.
Okay.
And it's like, what the heck is wrong with them?
Both Dick Wolf, Law and Order, and NCIS, both did shows about that same site. Just so
oh,
you
really?
Know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I mean, something should be done. I can't believe it. And some, you know, the guy, the host of the show, said that's immoral and unethical. She says no.
It is immoral.
It is. I mean, I said wrong. She said yes, it is unethical. It is immoral, but it's legal. And I make a lot of money. She says I make $500,000 profit each year from helping people to cheat. And what good is it to them? I mean, okay, maybe she can help them cheat. But, you know, I talk to these people, and they know nothing. They have no mind. The greatest purpose in life they have is to play cards or maybe play golf. I mean, they're the very superficial people. And it's a shame. You know, I would tell them, stay in your room, lock the door. And of course, it's a little bit extreme, but I'd say lock the door and start studying. And they say, oh, sure, professor. And then they come back and say, you know what, I went to Aruba. What do you think? Okay, fine. You know, I'm pretty non-judgmental, but, like, that's not going to teach you anything except greed works. Greed is good, and it isn't. It isn't. You know, might makes right. No, it doesn't. Right makes right. Right makes might. And that's what I think people should be learning on this earth, this planet, which is right, not might.
Okay. Anyway, we're coming towards the end of the show. We have a few more minutes to go. Lauren, you got a last word?
Well, yeah. It's just what I said before. Right makes might. You know, people have to learn that, and I think they're learning the wrong thing. They're learning, well, if we can make might by sticking together and doing whatever things, and even if it's bad, we'll still do it anyway, that's wrong. And, you know, that's why there's a lot of problems with this planet. It's not that there's some outside force. It's we're doing it to ourselves. Right makes might. And that is my final word.
That is great. Excellent. Amen to that. And we need to restore our moral compass, our family entity, a mother, father, and the children.
You agreed.
As a unit and work on that. Education is important. And get politics out of the school system, and let's get the
eliminate
the drugs.
It's hard enough to teach. It's hard enough to teach. It's really hard. And you put politics in there, and like, oh my God, you know, who wants to be a teacher? Nobody wants to teach. I can't blame them.
It's rough. It became political, and the teachers of yesterday can't work on today's day because it became too political. The teachers want to teach the kids to be educated, not to be indoctrinated, recruited. And that's the difference today from yesterday. And that's going
to
change, and we're working on it here.
I agree. You know, children need to learn to think for themselves, not to follow some leader who says, here's how you think. No, people have to think for themselves, use their intuition, use their intellect, and discover the truth. You know, have somebody tell them the truth.
That's what I've been trying to tell a certain young lady, and to try and get her out from very bad people, because she's now has a 2-month-old that she needs to take care of. And if she keeps following the thugs, the gangs, the drugs, and a person who's
criminal,
she's in trouble, and so is that kid. And it's not about her anymore. It's about that kid, and she could lose that kid if she continues to work that route.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame, but... You know, they need to remember, right makes right. Right makes might.
That's it. Right makes right.
That's it.
Anyway,
right makes might.
Lauren, Well, I want to thank you for coming on. Scarlett, do you have any last word? Because we only have a couple more minutes.
I'll be back on Sunday. And everybody have a great week. God bless America. God bless everyone. Everybody take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Lauren. Bye-bye. Okay. We're about over. All right.
We'll see you Sunday. Thank you.
Yeah,
both of you. Thank
bye-bye
you. Bye-bye
now. Okay, we're coming to an end. We got a couple more minutes. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to The Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People radio show and podcast, 13 years on the radio, 2 years plus on the podcast. It's been great. We continue to do our best to tell the truth and get interesting conversations. Get chat rooms open, the lines are open. And we'll continue to do that. We're going to miss Diamond from Diamond Slowly and Jeff Beck, a great musician, guitarist. Two great losses this week. You got to live life to the fullest. You never know when your time is up. And you can't fake illnesses and you cannot try and get sympathy for things that you may not be. So that's the thing. And get out there and live life. And if you're sick, follow doctor's orders. It could extend your life for years to come. Go follow the procedures. Eat properly. Stay away from bad things. Start exercising. And you can live for years if you can do that. But again, and of course, hang around with great people. People that will inspire you, uplift you, and empower you. Right is might, as Lauren said, is important. We'll see you again on Sunday at 7 p.m. You never know what kind of topics we get. You never know who's going to come on. I want to thank Lauren. I want to thank Scarlett. I want to thank all those in the chat room and the millions that listen to us around the world, 115 nations. And it's great to see people listening to us all the time. And God bless you and have a great week. And see you on Sunday.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Yeah.